Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Al Davis joining you today. I'm not Pastor John Lutz, obviously, and I think that Pastor Lutz has gone into hiding. He was concerned that the world is going to come to an end tomorrow. If you've been following these things on the internet with the predictions that Nibiru is going to come crashing into the earth on Saturday, September 23rd, 2017. So I think Pastor Lutz is in hiding. He's gone into the bunker, and he's left me out here and Eric to work the soundboard in case Nibiru comes a day early, I guess. But now he'll be back with us, barring the end of the world. Pastor Lutz will be back with us next week. And I'm Pastor Al Davis. I host Live with Pastor Al, which follows this program at 1:30, and I'll be there as well. And just to let you know, we'll open up telephone lines for that program starting at 1:30. So if you have some questions or something from some of the things we talk about here today, you can give us a call here later on today, or maybe in about half an hour. But filling in for Pastor John Lutz, and he is out, has some things going on, and I want to let you know that next week, like I said, barring the apocalypse, Pastor Lutz will be back. And he will also be filling in for me next week on our program. So I guess you get an hour of me today and an hour of Pastor Lutz next week. So I hope it's a blessing, and let's go ahead and open our program today with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We pray that you would use this program today for your glory. Bless, watch over us now, and help the things that we talk about here today to be glorifying to thee, and help the people, that we could point people to Christ. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Like I said, Pastor Al Davis filling in for Pastor John Lutz. You can find out more about me if you go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also hear more about our program there. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And so we always say we got kind of a three-way thing going here, where Pastor Lutz, pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church, comes on here at 1 o'clock, and he's, of course, out on the west side in Lakewood, Ohio, and then myself, we're south in Richfield, Ohio, south of Cleveland, between Cleveland and Akron, and then, of course, you stay tuned at 2 o'clock. Of course, we have Pastor Andy Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, coming on, and they're out there on the east side in Euclid. So I hope you'll stay tuned for all three programs here today. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Well, I want to talk about a few things here, and you're looking, it's just kind of hard to avoid all the buzz that's going on about the end of the world, and we were talking about it on our program, we were talking about it at our church, and talking about different people. I was talking with a friend of mine on the telephone this morning, and we were talking about some of these things, and the thought came to me that unfortunately what happens oftentimes, that people get caught up in these end of the world scenarios, is they start to look to something other than the Bible as their final authority. And that's a problem. When people look to something other than the Bible as the final authority, a man, an organization, whatever it might be, you start to have some problems. And I was looking at some various lists online of some different things that people have looked at in the past, and some of them would be humorous if they weren't so sad. I was looking at one, the Prophet Hen of Leeds. I'm sure everybody's heard of this one, right? The Prophet Hen of Leeds. This was in 1806. This was a hen that began laying eggs with the phrase "Christ is coming" written on the eggs, and on the eggs. this was interesting. People got, it's got their attention. You know, how often does a chicken lay an egg that has something written on it? And so they began looking at these eggs, and news of this began to spread, and people were convinced that the Lord indeed was coming back in 1806 because a chicken was laying eggs. Well, that's a marvelous thing in and of itself, isn't it? But the unusual thing is that it had the writing on them that said, Christ is coming. Well, we know that Jesus Christ is coming. The Bible says that he's coming. When Jesus ascended up into heaven from the Mount of Olives in the book of Acts chapter 1, as the disciples are staring up into heaven, watching him go up into the clouds, and as the Bible says, as the cloud received him out of sight, the two angels stood by them, and basically, as they're looking up, the angel said, what are you doing here? You know, because he had given them their marching orders that they were to go to Jerusalem, they were to tarry. Holy Spirit was going to come upon them. That took place in chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And then they were to go into all the world, starting at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth, preaching the gospel. So the angels told him to get going. He said, but they also said he's coming back the same way that he left. So the idea that Christ is coming, that's not unusual, but it is unusual when a chicken lays an egg saying that. Well, the story lasted until somebody discovered that the farmer the owner of this chicken actually was taking the eggs, and he had some kind of ink or something that he was writing Christ is coming on them, and he was literally reinserting the egg back into the chicken so the chicken would have to lay that egg again. When that story came out, that kind of dissipated. Now, we could go back centuries over different things, but I just went back a few years back into the 1800s, basically just a couple of centuries. And this is one, no cult was born out of the chicken laying the egg one, so far as I know. But here's one that was a little more concerning to me. In 1843, there was a prediction that in April 23rd, 1843, maybe there's something about the number 23. Let's see, 2 plus 3 equals 5. 5 in the Bible is the number of grace. That must mean that. That's why. No. Anyway, you can get carried away with those things. But in New England, there was a farmer and I don't know if he was a full-time or part-time pastor, and myself and Pastor Lutz were both Baptist pastors. Well, I guess that he preached in a Baptist church himself, so that goes to show us or tell you that just because somebody's a Baptist doesn't mean they can't go wrong. You have to always check people with the Bible, which we'll come back to here in a minute. But this guy in New England, he began studying his Bible, and he came to the conclusion that the Lord was coming back on April 23rd, 1843. His name was William Miller, and he decided that anybody that should listen he said the end of the world is going to come anytime between March 21st, 1843, March 21st, 1844, and they came to the point that they settled on was April 23rd, 1843. Well, the sad thing here is that a lot of people began selling their things, selling their property, giving things away. They put these white robes on. They went up on top of hills. They went up on top of houses and barns, and they were waiting. I guess they figured Jesus would have an easier time of meeting them if they were up on the housetops or the roof of the barn or on a tall hill somewhere rather than just in their living room. But on April 23rd, the day dawned, people sat up on their rooftops in their white robes, and I'm sure there were others that didn't go quite to that extent, but people really believed that Jesus was coming back, and he didn't. Well, some surprise. There's people today who call this the Great Disappointment, because people were disappointed, especially the people who sold the farm and gave away all the money before this happened. So Jesus didn't come, and they recalculated a couple things and all that. But here's the sad thing that happened with this, other than the fact that people being duped by this, the sad thing that happened, and this is what happens, this is my point, when people leave the Word of God behind and begin to follow something other than the Word of God, they set themselves up to be misled in other areas. And there's two groups that we have today that got their start directly out of this so-called great disappointment, this failed prophecy of the coming of the Lord. One group was, of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And since the people who followed Miller here and followed this prophecy got themselves used to following a man or something other than the Bible for their final authority, what happened then is they began to incorporate other things that were in error. Not only was their eschatology, their study of future events, the prophecy messed up, but then they began to get progressively more messed up on other doctrines. For instance, they began to question whether or not Jesus Christ was indeed God in the flesh. Now, of course, that's one of our cardinal truths of Christianity. That's an essential element or a foundational truth of Christianity, of biblical Christianity, the fact that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And they became convinced that he isn't, so much that they began to teach that Jesus Christ is actually Michael the archangel, that he's a created being. I don't have time to go into all the detail here on this, but they taught that he's a created being. He's Michael the archangel. God created him first and then used him to create everything else. And they even went so far as to change the scriptures eventually. In the beginning, they did use a King James Bible, but it was too inconvenient for them. It had too many things that gave them problems. You know, for instance, in the Gospel of John, where it says in the beginning of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then says the same, just stick with that sentence there for the moment. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was too inconvenient for them. It clearly says the Word, and we know the Word is Jesus because a little further down, it says that in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this was inconvenient. So what they did was they changed the Bible. They put out their own translation eventually called the New World Translation. And they changed John 1:1. Instead of saying in the beginning was the Word with a cap with, or I'm sorry, and the Word was with God and the Word was God with a capital G, they rewrote it to say in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was a God with a little g. See how they changed that there? And some of the people who were on the translation committee admitted that every other translation they looked at basically agreed with what I read there in the English, and the Word was God with a capital G. By the testimony of one of the people on the translation committee, they actually found one translation that changed it to a God with a little g. Was a German translation by a defrocked Roman Catholic priest who, by his own admission, under the influence or control of a fallen angel, a demon, he gave the translation as the Word was a God with a little g. And he got that by his own testimony from a demonic source. And that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses used to justify replacing that, because they had to change the Bible. See, when you go to a source of authority that is different from the Word of God, it sets you up for all manner of problems. And that's what they did. They began to say that their founders and that the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society in Brooklyn, New York, had greater, was their authority. I shouldn't say has greater authority, but in practice, that's what it works out to, that it has greater authority. And they began to look to that as their source of authority. So if the Bible says something and they disagree with it or they don't like what it says, and the Watchtower says that it means something totally different than what the Bible actually clearly says, they go with the Watchtower because that's their final authority. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul warns us of this. He's writing to Timothy, and he says in verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." He said, "For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." And he goes on through this list here, "without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." And then he says this about them, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And then he says in verses 6 and 7, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, how do we resist these things? How do we be on guard about these things? Well, and we come down to chapter 3 here, 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, where he says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And he tells Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You see what he's saying here? He's appealing to the scriptures. He's telling Timothy that you need to hold fast to the scriptures, and they're able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, when you share the gospel with an unsaved person and the Holy Spirit deals with their heart and they come under conviction and they see the truth of the gospel and they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, they believe that he died on the cross, they believe that he shed his blood to pay for their sins, that he was buried and he rose again the third day victorious over sin and death, as the Bible says, when you believe those things and you're willing to turn from your own way. And see, a lot of people go to church, but they're thinking that's going to get them to heaven. A lot of people try to be good, and they think that's going to get them into heaven. A lot of people, they make some emotional decision or some kind of connection with some kind of cause of Christianity of some sort or another, and they think that's going to get them to heaven. But it's only when you recognize that none of those things are going to get you to heaven. It's only through Christ. And when we throw ourselves on the mercy of the Lord, like the publican who wouldn't even lift up his eyes to God, he said, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." When we admit our sin, the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. When we confess our sin, we admit that we're sinners. We admit that we deserve the wages of sin, which is death. Not just merely physical death, but spiritual death in the lake of fire for all eternity, the Bible says. Well, when we admit that that's what we deserve because we are sinners, and then we recognize that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin when he died on the cross and he shed his blood to pay for our sins, when we accept that by faith, then we are changed, the Bible says. God changes us. He redeems us. He puts his righteousness upon us, and he justifies us in his sight. It's just if we had died on that cross with Jesus Christ, and he reckons the price that Jesus paid on the cross to be applied to our sin debt, and our sins paid for, he saves us, he adopts us into his family, he forgives us of our sin, he makes us his child, he gives us not merely the possibility, but he gives us eternal life. And we know then when we trust Christ as our Savior, we're going to be with him in heaven for all eternity. Now, Paul is saying here to Timothy, "You knew the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." He says, you understand the Scriptures, which were used to bring you to a saving knowledge of Christ. Well, he continues, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Not only was it able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, but it's there for our doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that we can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that we can grow unto perfection as a believer. And it's to help us so we can grow. See, Paul told Timothy, go back to the Scriptures. Go back to the Scriptures. Isaiah was told by God in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. He said, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? And he says this in verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. That's to the Scripture. To the law and to the testimony. They speak not according to this word. It is because there is no light in them. And see, when we look at these people who get caught up, just like the people who are getting caught up in September 23, Nibiru is going to destroy us. And by the way, if Nibiru was that close to us, the moon would have been destroyed by now. We would be having huge tsunamis across the southern hemisphere because supposedly it's coming from the South Pole. That's why you don't see it in the sky. But everybody in the southern hemisphere would see it because we live on a sphere. And so they would all see it very clearly. They'd see it right now in the daytime. And I guess all of the media's in on it. They're not showing the pictures of the utter destruction of the southern hemisphere of our world. You know, Australia being flooded with giant tsunamis, the ice sheets of Antarctica being fractured, and volcanoes erupting all across the southern hemisphere as Nibiru makes its approach. No, it's not happening. And see, when people follow these things, just like when they followed Miller, they get caught up and they start looking to things other than the Bible. And the Bible, like I said, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It's just a few years ago, Harold Camping was out there, and I remember watching a guy standing in Times Square convinced that the Lord was coming at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And, of course, it was 6 p.m. in each of the 24 time zones. He was coming 24 times, I guess. And the man stood there with a haughty look on his face, looking at his watch as people around him were mocking and jeering. And he was supremely confident. He perhaps was one of those ones that had sold everything and given all this money to Harold Camping because he was convinced, because Harold Camping said it. And it didn't happen. 6 o'clock came and went. The look of haughty confidence on his face quickly changed to crushing defeat and disappointment and disillusionment. When you look to Christ, you're not going to have to suffer that fate. He is coming for us one day. We know that. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. I'm pretty confident it's not tomorrow on September 23rd, because I'm pretty confident Nibiru's not out there. I've been reading about Nibiru for years. That goes back, comes from a pagan source, and good Christians are falling for these things. We need to be careful. You know, even Christians can be led astray. That's why Paul said to remember the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. And they're given for our instruction, for our doctrine. Well, we're running out of time here. I hope you'll stick with us and join in with our program coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll open up some phone lines. If you've got a question, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll pick up your calls during the coming program, live with Pastor Al. That's going to be starting here in just a few minutes. So I want to thank Pastor Lutz for the opportunity to be here, and we'll see him next week after the apocalypse.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.